Good evening. James McKenna here with my Science Hour. It's December 1st, 2016, and the hurricane season officially ended yesterday, November 30th. And as you probably are aware, there really wasn't one this year. In spite of the fact that there was one in January, everybody got excited and thought, "Not, I didn't," because there was a reason why January had a hurricane. But the everybody got excited, thought that this would be the huge year for hurricanes. The National Hurricane Prediction Center made their predictions in April, saying that this would be above average hurricane season. And I said, no, they're wrong, because the sun is not doing anything. The sun is electrically is not active. It has not been active for many years. So it was easy to predict that we really weren't going to have a hurricane season, which we did not again. But anyway, they actually upped their prediction by one in April because of the January hurricane, which is it's kind of like padding the deck there, stacking the deck, so to speak. But at any rate, that was all for fool's reasoning, because the rest of the hurricane, we really didn't have anything. So, end result, they will get their money again next year. And it would be good if, this is one thing that I'm not sure if Trump is really aware of, but if many people wrote, they're actually listening, they're actually taking information from the common people out here. But science in the United States and in Europe and in England is very, very controlled. Also partly in other countries like Russia, because those scientists, if they want to do science, if they want to have access to some of the better equipment, which they don't have in their countries, then they have to play ball with NASA. And that's just the way it is. I don't, never have, and it's been very difficult. It's been very difficult being doing what I do and paying my way to meetings, all the meetings I went to, all the excellent work that I've done over the years in the science community. Every time there is an advancement or new information comes in, people at NASA or within the scientific community who do have access to publication or data try and steal pieces of my work. I've got lists. I call it the creeping crud list. And it goes back years of bits and pieces where people... Here's an example. In my work dealing with the effects on Earth of passing large comets, I said that the gravitational waves that are set up in the Earth move along the plains, and then when they come to the mountainous regions, those waves, the energy in the wave, is dissipated in the mountains so that the mountains keep building. So you see epochs and epochs of mountain building in the same ranges of mountains, the Andes, the Rockies, the Himalayas, you know, on and on. So the issue was that the mountains continue to build and the waves continue to pile up and the energy dissipated in the mountains that already exist. That was copied by a group of geologists. Actually copied, but of course they didn't put in the part about the comets passing by. It was like, oh, the mountains just decided to absorb and grow where they already existed. But the reality in science is that new great ideas are very rare, because the average scientist is really probably not a very good scientist, at least the ones you see. The really good scientists are brought up into tier one levels and you never see them. So the tier two scientists are sitting out there with their finger up their nose, really were never good scientists. And by the way, you can get a PhD. It's not difficult. If you've gotten to the level of getting a bachelor's degree, you know how to work the problems in the physics books, and physics is hard, granted. Physics is not for everybody. Mathematics is not for everybody, because here's the deal. You got to spend a lot of time at it. It's not like I just sit down and understand these things. It took me decades to crack the prime number problem. And people spent, great mathematicians for the last 2,500 years had spent their entire lives working around that problem, not seeing through the thin veil that separated them from the solution that I was able to penetrate and get through and understand and document so that you could even understand it. Scientific ideas, mathematical ideas, are very rare in the world of mathematics. The mathematical analysis people are still laboring over the idea that somehow statistics or statistical analysis, or what they call mathematical analysis, is somehow going to give them insight into prime numbers, or calculating big prime numbers with computer systems. It gives you no understanding. But they keep doing it because that's the modus operandi. Good ideas, new ideas, especially in this day and age where a tremendous amount has already been discovered and documented, new ideas are very, very rare. Rarer than hen's teeth, as they say. So when good ideas do come out, it's like, well, everybody's got to pile on them. And a lot of those scientists listen to this show secretly in the back room so they can get ideas to publish. That's exactly what's going on. So at any rate, it would be good if Trump, being a president who wants to clear the swamp, the scientific swamp in Washington is as gross and polluted and stenchy as the regular political world of Washington, D.C. Very important to clear the swamp of science. I think it's terribly gross that scientists are like squirrels in the forest who have forgotten how to forage. It used to be scientists went out and worked at something that they had a passion for. That was their love. They learned and researched, and then those ideas, the ones that were fruitful, came forward and were important because they were looking for major ideas. Now what scientists do, the government-supported scientists, not me, but what they do is there's a book that's released by the National Science Foundation, the National Institute of Health, the NASA, on all the alphabet soup agencies of Washington. They put out a book, and I've seen them. I've looked at them, and I've worked under projects with those because, like with my master's degree, Tulane University, I worked for a National Institute of Health grant for studying polymers, the photoconductive properties of polymers. And that was dealing with x-rays, and that was my master's thesis for my degree with nuclear and solid-state physics. So at any rate, I've seen these books. You open them up, and they give titles and topics and categories. And this is where they want to put the money next year. So that's all the little scientists run around like little squirrels that forgot how to forage, looking at what they can do. They do what we call a quick and dirty. They throw together some little experiment in the laboratory, and they go, oh, we got a result here. They send it in, they get their grant money, and their hope is to get that grant money for 2 or 3 years. But the grants are only given for 1 year, so they got to come up with some result in the first year. And so they put together something, 90% of the time it's fake. It's exaggerated. It's fake news, fake information. And so what they do is they put this into the grant system. The big grant machine churns and grinds at Washington. Also, there's a political issue of it, of this whole process, in which they got to give and distribute this money all around, so that one group over here doesn't get it all. Plus, in the background, they have political correctness in mind. Nobody's going to put in a grant that comes out of political correctness. I have a little story that when the Hubble Space Telescope was first going to be launched, NASA put out a competition. And this was open to scientists. And the idea was that you would create an experiment that could be run on the Hubble Space Telescope. I talk about this in one of my books. The it was open. It was open-ended. There was not a designation of what topics you would want to study. And it gave all of the details of the equipment that would be on the Hubble Space Telescope. I entered, and of course, they assumed that you would enter one category because it was very difficult to actually write a proposal for the Hubble Space Telescope and know all of the instrumentation and your field of study and all of the factors. It would really be very difficult for anybody to write more than one proposal for this. They had, I think, seven teams of astrophysicists and space scientists and astronomers that were judges. So this was the initial gate that you had to get by. Actually, there was another initial gate just to make sure you filled out the application correctly. That was the initial gate. And then it went into these committees, seven committees, that would decide on each of these various categories of research. And then they would all be funneled into one research committee at the very end to decide on who got the proposal grant to do their study on the Hubble Space Telescope. So I put a proposal in each one, and it was dealing with my comet science research, etc. And I tailored it. I had to do it. I had to tailor this in a somewhat politically correct manner so that it would get by these bozos. And so anyway, I put in seven. I got five past the first gates where that was correctly filled out, and all the I's were dotted correctly and T's were crossed correctly. But then they all got into the final committee, or that second level committee review. Five of them were accepted, which meant five of them went to the final committee. And when the final committee got a look at them, I got these shocking reviews back that they were like amazed that someone had five applications in the final round. And they really liked a couple of them, but then when they realized who I was and what I was doing, I didn't get any. But I stuck it to them. And they, there was embarrassment within those committees, but they couldn't pass any of mine because they were not from the standard genre of science. Politically incorrect science. That's what I'm involved in. So that was just a point. And I still have all that paperwork on file, by the way. Anyway, I don't want to spend this whole time talking about this, but it's very important that they flush the swamp in Washington of science. And these guys, every year, they manipulate. They manipulate the news media. They manipulate NASA and the direction so that they can get money. This whole thing of going to Mars, everybody wants to go to Mars. NASA's got a program to go to Mars, which I'll be talking about a bit tonight. And by the way, my paid cast this week is called Mars, Water, and NASA Lies. A very important show because NASA released recently a whole group of very good photos on the ground of Mars and conclusively proving that Mars had water recently. And so I want to show those in the paid cast and then discuss them. It's going to be very good. I'll talk a little bit about that on this show also. Okay, so anyway, the whole trip to Mars is a way for NASA to get money for the next 30 years without doing anything. Just a quick commentary on a few things. Now, I'm a mathematician, a statistician. I've taught statistics at the university level. I did a couple programs during the election on the Electoral College and how that works. And this is the way it works. It's the basic idea is that you have big states like New York and California and Florida. There's four states that 35% of the American population live in. It's California, Texas, Florida, and New York. 35% of the U.S. population lives in those states. So how could a state like Vermont or Wyoming be counted? I mean, their vote would not be counted at all. because the big states would just carry the vote, a couple other states, and it was done. So the little states would never count. So they devised the Electoral College, and they had two senators from every state. They had representatives from every state based on population. And so there's 434 representatives. But in the Electoral College, they divided the United States up into population groups so that every population group got an electoral vote. And also, that meant that, say, let's take a certain population center, typically in a city. If you could come in and vote or cheat with the vote in that population center, you would not gain any more electoral votes. So if you could cheat and have, in those, especially in those centers where you have high population, and stuff the ballot box, then by doing that, you would not get any more electoral votes. And so this is what happened. And when you look at the electoral vote, if there was a close election where there was a popular vote that was close, you could potentially have it so one candidate won the popular vote but lost the Electoral College vote. And that has happened before a couple times, not many times. But when the Electoral College vote is very, very disjoint, where Trump had 320 now electoral votes, and Clinton had 232, literally a gap of 100 out of 534, I think, is the number of Electoral College votes total. You add, here's what you do. You take the number of representatives, you add the number of senators, which is 434 plus 100 is 534. So that's the number of electoral votes total. That's how they get that. And so literally, if you have a close electoral vote, one is a little bit ahead of the other one, then the deciding factor is based on the Electoral College, because that's a better representation statistically of the real vote. But when you have a disparity between the Electoral College vote and the popular vote, then that indicates gross cheating on the part of the person who won the popular vote, and that's what happened. And that's why, even though this Jill Stein lady, who's ahead of the Green Party, and by the way, the Green Party many years ago, just like Greenpeace, was wholly taken over by the powers in Washington. And it was a very useful tool, because they could take a part of the population and swing the vote. And they could take away from certain other parties. And it also satisfied the tree huggers to think that they had their own party. It's like MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, I think it's called, or whatever, MUFON, which I've given talks for those people, and they like me. But anyway, I knew the head of the LA MUFON, the chapter out in Los Angeles, and the head of the MUFON out there would tell the people when they came in to volunteer and they were going to go out and discover UFOs and, you know, change the world. The first thing they were told, the new volunteers, was, hey, this thing is totally infiltrated. If you do discover something, it's going to go directly up to disinformation groups in Washington, D.C., and nothing you do is going to count because it's been totally infiltrated. Well, the Greenpeace, the guy who started Greenpeace, quit and made a speech, and he said, hey, we need more CO2. And Greenpeace is just a mouthpiece for, once again, the UN agenda. The Green Party is a mouthpiece for the UN agenda. So the Jill Stein woman is a bought and paid for shill. She couldn't raise $3 million over the course of her campaign. She only got 1% of the vote. And then she tries to bring a recount. Well, the rules on the recount is that a recount has to be brought by the political candidate that lost, not some ding-dong over here in the corner. So Jill Stein is just a political shill. Turns out that she was trying to raise money for the recount, which doesn't cost them anything. The recount is done by the state. And the recount should only be done if it's initiated, mind you, by the political candidate that lost. And the political candidate that lost did not initiate this. So anyway, the funny thing is that around Monday, even CNN had dropped that the whole discussion of a recount, because Trump then had officially won Michigan, got the, 16 electoral votes from there, which put him way ahead. And the White House came in and said, no, we are not going to have a recount, which is interesting politically, because the obvious reason that the White House said no is because it would open up a giant can of worms. Once again, once you open up these doors, that there was massive voter fraud, not on the part of Trump, but on the part of Hillary Clinton, that the, and I gave a show, I'm not going to repeat it here, the 10 top ways of voter fraud, it's in a previous show, all of those were being used. And the only places, if you look at a county-by-county map of the of the popular vote, Hillary Clinton only won 30 counties. And these were counties where there was a high illegal alien population. And so the reporting, here's the problem, once the voting gets away from the public, not in a state like Michigan, but in a where they use mainly old-fashioned paper ballots. I guess they don't even use electronic machines in Michigan. But in the states where the HRC won, vote was sometimes 100% in some of these counties. And some of the times the voting was, it did not match the exit polls. So there was massive fraud. They estimate that 8 million illegal aliens voted. And so that right there is and that estimate came out of the news media that supported HRC. So at any rate, what I'm saying is that if the Electoral College vote was close, then you could believe that the HRC could have won the popular vote. But when the Electoral College vote is 100 different, there's no way that she could have won the popular vote. It's absolutely impossible. And so the reason the White House said no to the recount and the just died on the vine there most early or late last week, basically, was because if they would have opened up the door and somebody said, let's do a recount, because Jill Stein was only doing a recount in the three states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, where there was undecided at that point, in which Hillary Clinton lost. They weren't going into California, into L.A., where there was high illegal alien voting, or Chicago, or other places where there was massive voter fraud. In Illinois, they weren't going into those states. They were only going into the states that she lost and could have possibly did something to the election. But then she had won states by 300 votes, and they were not going to do a recount there. It was obviously, and then we find out that George Soros funded Jill Stein's effort at a recount. So big surprise there. I talked yesterday morning on the John Moore show, and I said I wanted to plant a seed, and I'm going to plant this seed here in this show. And when I'm on other shows, I'm going to do this also. Over the past 30 years, the United States has been forced into massive, massive debt. And the reality is we don't know where this money went. What did we get? Let me give you a little statistics here. When I was doing my show on population, world population, a number of weeks ago, I came up with some of these combination of numbers. Russia has the biggest land area in the world. They have natural resources, but they can't get to them. They can't extract them. They do sell oil and natural gas to Europe and to other places, but basically, Russia is the biggest landmass on the planet. They have a population that is one-tenth It is number 9 in population in the world. Mexico is 10th. So Russia has 140 million people. Mexico has 127 million. So they're neck and neck. In fact, Mexico will probably surpass Russia in population very shortly. So Russia has a population of 147 million, a third the population of the United States. The GNP of Russia is the size of Italy. Now, I don't even know where Italy ranks in GNP in the world, but I guarantee you it's pretty far down there. Russia has a GNP equal to that of Italy, yet they have a world-class military that exceeds ours. They have modern developments that are light years beyond what we're doing, and we have a $20 trillion debt. Most of it went into military, and we don't have anything for military. We have outdated, worn-out machinery. You know, what's wrong with this picture? And so anyway, here's the problem. In the past 20 to 30 years, the United States have been just forced into this massive debt. Bankers, collusions, and politicians. In Iceland, they arrested the bankers and the politicians that drove it into bankruptcy. And they threw out the World Bankers, arrested the bankers, and put them in prison and tried them for treason. That's what we should do in this country. And I'm planting this seed because if you take a corporation and you drive it into the ground and take all the money and give it to your buddies, that's illegal. You can't do that. It's illegal. And you would be, if you know, the stockholders would be at loss and only a few stockholders gained, and they take the head of a company and they put him in prison for that. In a political, national political scene, it's called treason, where you purposefully use your power to enrich you and your buddies at the cost of the country. And besides, put you in a position where you're weak relative to defense and the security of the country. This is, you know, if you're financially insecure and you have not invested in good defense, then this is treason. That is treason. And my planting the seed is to start to try the people that did this and try them for treason. In the past few weeks, and I'm sorry to rant a bit about this political stuff. The election is over. The last nail in the coffin, if you wanted to call it that, this recount baloney has gone by the wayside. But what's lingering is this idea that's been voiced by Obama, by other people, that say somehow we have to have a government-controlled news media where only proper things can be said. They're actually talking about this. They're trying to get it in, but that would be where we'd be going if the HRC got to be president. You'd have happy camps. She talked about happy camps, where all adults would have to go to a camp, and they would have music, and you would basically come out of there happy with the way things are. And the people who disagreed would be hauled off to another unhappy camp for reconditioning. Yeah, that's what was in store for you if the HRC won. But the people spoke, and the Electoral College spoke. I estimate that Hillary Clinton probably didn't get more than 50 million votes. So you see that, like, CNN keeps mouthing, oh, she won the popular vote. No, no. When the Electoral College is 100 different, something we have not seen at all ever in history, the popular vote was equally disparaging. So that would put her at possibly around 50 million votes, maybe 45 million. So that's the real story. And statistically, with the way the Electoral College works, that is the way it is. There's no question about it. So there's massive voter fraud, and even at that, they couldn't pull it off because the Electoral College prevented those cells of massive voter fraud from shining through because they didn't get any more electoral votes because of the cheating. Anyway, CIA fake news, and this is something I've reported on for decades. Going back to 1991, I saw the CIA take over NASA. And so this does get into science, once again, that comes full circle through politics. And I get people who tell me, I don't want to hear about politics on a science show. Well, let me tell you, if you don't understand what drives science and the funding mechanism where they are cow-cowing, the scientists are cow-cowing to the government grant book, and what's behind that grant book, the political objectives of those grant books, if you don't understand that, then, buddy, you ain't going to understand science. You know, if you look at Wikipedia or if you look at History Channel or Science Magazine or Nature Magazine or the New York Times science editorials or the BBC science editorials or Nature Magazine or National Geographic specials, if you look at that as your source of science or the peer-reviewed journals, same pile of crap, not anything to do with real science. It's just a mogul. It's a ivory tower bastion for correct, political correct science. It's all garbage. It's all meant to don't rock the apple cart because that would mean the funding apple cart. Okay, so at any rate, the CIA controls the major news media also. So the narrative you're seeing on CNN, this is something I said too. I mentioned this on John Moore. Know your disinformation sites. And I'm going to be putting a list. I made a note to myself to put a list on my webpage. Know your disinformation websites. CNN is one of the biggest ones. ABC, NBC, New York Times, Washington Post, Wikipedia, Daily Mail, BBC, Nature, Science, National Geographic, and the list goes on. Astronomy Magazine, Sky and Telescope Magazine. The list goes on and on. Know your disinformation sites. This is where they're trying to pawn off tier two science and garbage onto you, the public. Textbooks. How about textbooks? I'm going to mark that on my notes. Textbooks. So at any rate, now the CIA is trying to force this idea in their death throes of a failing news media, which nobody listens to. The New York Times has lost 97% of its listenership. They're reeling. Nobody listens to them. The polls were totally off and askew. They were trying to force the American public to vote for Hillary Clinton by skewing the polls, saying, oh, and then complete negative coverage of Trump. And, you know, yeah, I am against, I don't agree with everything Trump is doing, but clearing the swamp of Washington is a good thing. And that's what they're going to do. It's overdue. So if you're for keeping the Washington elite in power, then let me tell you something. Just turn my show off and go away. Go play with some body part someplace. Just don't listen to my show anymore. If you think that Hillary Clinton should have gotten elected, you know, or the idea that we need a woman president, that's wonderful. But, you know, there's a lot of real women out there who could be real presidents and not run the Clinton Foundation and the money laundering and the drug trafficking and the human trafficking and the pedophilia and everything else that goes with it. And if you don't know about this, start opening up your big brown eyes out there, little boys and girls, and start figuring out what's going on in the world around you, like my Uncle Ben used to say. Open up your big brown eyes and see what's going on in the world around you. So if you don't know, and you're that ignorant, and you don't want to know, then just, hey, turn this show off and go away, please. Because you're not going to understand science either. That's as simple as that. CIA controls science that you see. They also control Tier 1 science that you don't see. The CIA is the police force of the World Bank. The CIA runs the biggest drug trafficking enterprise in the world. The CIA runs the technology development of the spying mechanisms. They own Google, Yahoo, Skype, WhatsApp, everything else that you use, social media, Facebook. That's why the people at Facebook and these social media places are so wealthy, because they're in with the CIA and the CIA pays them off. And hey, if you want to know what brand of, whatever they came out of, look at them. They're all the same. They've all fit in the same pile of donkey dung. So you start to understand that, you know, the political correctness of science that is pawned off on you is designated. NASA has two news release agencies. And all information from everything that comes out of NASA and goes to you has to pass through those agencies for cleansing, homogenizing, pasteurization, and blending so that it's proper for you, the public. And that's not what you get on my show. So anyway, you got to understand this. Okay, on to some actual real topics here. Mexico City, Popocatépetl, explodes this week unexpectedly. And so you should go and see the videos of this if you haven't. Now, this was not a major eruption in terms of world-changing events. They had to shut down the Mexico City airport. I lived in Mexico City. I know. That's in 1971 to 72 region in there. I lived in Mexico City. I lived on the southwest. Mexico City is a big volcanic caldera. When the Aztecs lived there, when Cortez came and the Spanish, when they came, there was a lake there. It was a lake bed that was in the volcanic caldera, and the Aztecs had channeled it off. They had canoes that they would go around in, and there were walkways. And, of course, you had the temples and the everything else, 90% of which the Spanish destroyed and made into churches. Just an unbelievable amount of destruction there. But every morning I would get up and I would, living in the foothills, I could have a view of the entire city of Mexico City. And every morning I would get up and look out my window, which overlooked the entire city of Mexico City, and it, off to the east were the two big volcanoes. And they sat there idle, luckily, while I was there. I did not happen to be there during the big earthquake. I forget what year that was, but I was not there at that time. That was a major, major earthquake. And then all of a sudden, Popocatépetl blows off the other day, totally unexpected. There's a lot of shifting going on in the Pacific Rim, and Popocatépetl is linked into that system. And so the earthquakes that have been recently in a lot of the through Japan, around the Pacific Rim of fire, etc., indicates some adjustments going on there. So at any rate, and then this past month we had some major earthquakes. This is all indicative of some adjusting going on. And so we might expect some more activity. I'm not predicting, because it's very, very difficult to predict underground activity, as this is very indicative. Nobody had an idea that this volcano was going to blow off. And also it was very interesting that the nighttime footage showed electrical activity. And I saw a lot of mentioning of this on the internet. Electrical activity in plumes around volcanoes. The volcano is up high. It's connecting to the ionosphere, and that electricity is coming from, literally from the ionosphere, the same electricity that powers hurricanes, tornadoes, thunderstorms, etc. This past week, NASA, in once again searching for money, I guess, has announced that they discovered, and this is bogus news, I'll just tell you this right up front, they've discovered amount of water on Mars equal to Lake Superior. When I heard this, I thought, oh, I just hit my forehead. And, oh, what are they doing now? And so this was a satellite, and it's a sounding satellite, so they're trying to look for configurations underground. And it's somehow matched up with what one of them thinks, or some of them think, could be a case for ice that's locked under the ground. And so anyway, it's once again, it's pure bogus. Like the announcement that there was a planet around our nearest neighbor star. They didn't discover anything. It could be, you know, all they were seeing was redshift from the Proxima Centauri star. And they said, oh, that's due to, after years of analysis, they said that's due to a planet, which is bogus. because the redshift of the star has nothing to do with a planet being around it. It sometimes can, but typically that's due to, and this was very random redshift, not a cyclic redshift, but very random. And they came up with the concept that this planet was circling around every 3 days around this star. And then they said, well, it's a very cold star, but that's close enough to where it could be warm enough, and there could be human life there. And they're all getting ready to pack their bags and go there. They're making these wild claims that they discovered a planet near us that supports intelligent life. Oh, my goodness. You know, what are these? There has to be some very good drugs in NASA. That's all I can tell you, for these people to dream this crap up and then publish it. And then the news media just publishes it like, hey, this is what NASA said, must be true. But if you see this announcement about a Lake Superior amount of water on Mars, bogus. This past week, Fidel Castro died. And this is, I don't really go into a lot of these details on my radio show, but I just want to say something. There's a tremendous amount of misinformation about what happened in Cuba and what happened over the past 50 years. The reality is that you have to understand history from the point of view of time in which the events happened. Too many times people want to analyze history from the way you look at things now. Sitting in your living room with your beautiful armchair with the furnace on, you know, with your refrigerator filled with food that's coming from all over the world, and, beer that's coming from Europe, and life is good, and you're watching football. Okay, that's the year 2016. Let's fast forward back to the 1940s, post-World War II, Cuba. Not good. Not good at all. What was going on is you had Havana, which was a bastion of wealth, the CIA, the mafia, were the two central controlling financial groups that were in Havana. You had money from international banking that was invested there. In every other corrupt foreign source of money on the planet had investments in Cuba. It was a free-for-all. And it rivaled, it looked probably much bigger than what Miami Beach looks like today. It was immense. And so what was the lot of the Cuban people? The Cuban people had nothing. They didn't have chickens. They didn't have beef. They didn't have cows. They lived out in the country. They eked a living off of bananas. Remember that rice would not have been prevalent. One of the main staples of all of Latin America is rice. They wouldn't have had potatoes. They would have basically eaten what they could have gotten off their land. And things were pretty thin. There was no education. There was no medicine. There was no health care of any kind. There was very poor road systems, if any at all. And nothing was being done. All the money that was accumulating in Havana was for the rich. And the other part is they'd go out into the countryside and rob the young girls to be prostitutes, forced prostitution in Havana. This is what the lot of the Cuban people was. So when Fidel came in his band of, 74 guys that came in and started on the east end of the island, there was an agenda. And they spent 2 years up in the mountains. And the reason I'm saying this is because now the CIA is trying to spin a story that Fidel Castro was a CIA operative. Totally incorrect. Absolutely false. He was in there to rout out the CIA. And that's what happened. The CIA left there and they kept trying to come back in. If you have never seen this, you should look at a speech given by Che Guevara at the UN back in the 1950s. And basically he called out Nicaragua and the other Central American, Latin American, Banana Republic countries for the leaders taking payments from the U.S. to run the sugar companies, the fruit companies, and whatever else they could, natural resources they could pull out of those countries. And he said in Cuba, they were being accused of murdering people. And he said, yeah, you keep sending the people down there to infiltrate and try and destroy what they're building, and they're going to kill them. He said, that's what they're going to do. And so you should watch that speech. But once again, you have to understand from the point of view of what was going on at the time. So when Fidel came in to Havana, after spending years up in the mountains gathering forces, literally the whole country of Cuba was walking behind him. And so this was a point in time, the Cuban Revolution was something, and the people who left, the people who now are the descendants of those people who live in Miami and around in the U.S., primarily Miami, of course, were thrown out of there. And so this is a historical issue. Whether you like it or don't like it, those are the historical facts. And so the anti-Fidel sentiment in the United States is from the people who were wealthy, ran Havana, and were thrown out. Well, they really weren't thrown out. They could have stayed, but they would have been killed by the people. And so they had one option. Fidel resisted the banking community for 50 years under sanctions. They still have 1950 taxicabs driving around. I've met people from both sides. I know people from both sides of the coin. People in Cuba who lived there. I met a woman who was a doctor there for 15 years. She finally left because she got married to an American guy, lived in the United States. And her story was as follows. She said she, part of her activity was that she went up into the mountains regularly to administer medicine and doctor activities to the public. Everybody had an education. Their teeth were great. They had dentistry, and they lived basically in a very basic existence because they couldn't get any kind of manufactured materials into their country. If you look at Venezuela now, there's a lot of criticism of Venezuela. Venezuela is being blockaded. They don't produce toilet paper or toothpaste or dozens of other things that normally would occur in a society that's trading. When Russia left the petrodollar and started trading and created Brexit to trade their own SWIFT system and left the international Rothschild banking community, all of this other activity went down. In Venezuela, when Saudi Arabia started producing massive amounts of oil, the plan was to raise oil, to cut production, raise oil prices, and force the United States to pay outrageous prices for oil. But Russia left, so they had to compete with them on an international level. So Saudi Arabia started producing all the oil they could, and that dropped the oil prices. So now in the United States, you're enjoying low gas prices. Gee. But Venezuela, being connected to the petrol industry, having the biggest oil deposit in the world, in Venezuela, you pay 4 cents a gallon for gasoline. In Colombia, it's $4 or $5 right next door. And so the same that happens in Ecuador to the south of Colombia, they're paying half the price of other South American countries for gasoline because they produce all the gasoline and export a bit. And so anyway, the understanding Latin American, et cetera, I heard Alex Jones the other day, and I appraised Alex for, you know, he was probably instrumental in getting Trump elected. I got to say that. So there's some good things that Alex has done. But when it comes to understanding Latin American politics, he's an idiot. He's the one who said that Fidel Castro was a CIA operative because he read it in a book. Well, gee, Alex, how many times have you been to Latin America? Like zero? And lived there and understood the population like I have. I've lived all over Latin America. I've traveled. I've talked to people. I know them. I know the people that like Fidel. I know the people that hate Fidel in Cuba and in Miami. So I know the whole, you know, all sides of this. And I know people who have lived in Cuba and like the, you know, people who have worked there. It's very different because they're forced into a corner. It's like taking an animal and forcing him into a corner and standing around and preventing him from eating and then saying, look at how he's acting. This animal's crazy. That's what they're doing to Cuba. That's what they're doing to Cuba. And you out there, the American public, are so damn stupid, you believe it. You believe the CIA narrative that's coming through the news media. Anyway, it's very important that Fidel is dead. And what they did in Cuba was a sign of the times. It was a cornered badger in a corner trying to fight for its survival in a world of banking scum. Okay? That's the final line. So how do you react to that? How do you act? How do you act if you're the president of Bolivia or Venezuela or other Latin American countries in a sea of banker influence, political wealth that's trying to destroy you and take you over, and then a blockade so nothing can come in? In the Ecuador earthquakes, Obama made a speech saying, we stand beside you, didn't give him a dime. Because Obama's the one that caused it. Hillary Clinton, under the rods from God that created those earthquakes the last year in Ecuador. This is what these people are under. They're trying to punch him in the gut under here where you don't see, and then say, look at how those people are acting there. And you, as Americans, are so stupid, you believe it. If you really want to know what it's like in a third world country, go live there for a while. I've always said this. People say to me, what should I do after I graduate from high school? What should I major in? What I tell kids and parents is give them a ticket, a one-way ticket to a foreign third world country where they have to live and earn their way back. So they have to live with the poor people and earn enough money so they can buy a ticket to come back home. And when they do, they're going to have their eyes open. The problem with Americans is they are the hated, stupid Americans because they've never been any place, they've never done any place. And this one woman goes, she goes, I go to Mexico all the time. Yeah, 5-star hotel in Cancun. Believe me, lady, you ain't going to get to know the Mexican problem by going to a 5-star hotel in Cancun. Doesn't happen. You got to get out in the countryside and look and understand and talk to the people. And they're great people. They're wonderful people. They've just been dumped on. And the people who are illegal aliens in the United States, they don't want that. They didn't ask for that Latin life. But they're struggling for some kind of, some semblance of existence in a world that has just dumped on the Latin American public. So, if before you start criticizing or telling me about all you know about Fidel Castro and the Cuba, hey, go there for a while. Live there. Understand the people. Understand the rest of Latin America. And you'll come back a different person. I just can't stand armchair politicians in the United States that think that they're so damn smart and they haven't done a thing except sit in that chair and drink beer. And watch the boob tube. Yep, that's what you get in the United States. Everybody knows everything and everybody's problems. Well, at any rate, this show has gotten a little bit out of hand due to all of this information about all that has happened in the last week. Just a quick note. Russia, over a long period of time, they started noticing these big holes in the ground up in Siberia. In areas where the permafrost is starting to thaw a little bit on the surface. My explanation was that the methane, which this is in an area where they extract methane for production, for export, that there were methane deposits in the permafrost in like bottles in regions down below the ground, and that lightning was igniting these, and that is a perfect example of like a piston, so to speak. And when they discovered these, it was just the top was blown off, and then there's just a big cylindrical hole down into the ground. This past week, there was a similar explosion in a civilized area in the region of Oxfordshire in the United Kingdom. And so it did exactly what I was talking about. A lightning bolt hits a known methane deposit in the ground, and boom, blew up, and there's a picture of it. So anyway, I'll see if I can get that posted on my webpage. But very interesting, conclusive evidence that what I was talking about is correct there. But they had scientists traveling up there, and they came up with all kinds of theories about how global warming was responsible for the holes in the ground. Well, no, it was a very simple explanation. Lightning bolts hitting methane deposits, and just like a piston in a car, boom, that was it. Now proven. Okay, well, we're getting close to the end of this show. This was a little bit different show tonight because of all of the topics I had to cover, possibly not related to science in some of your minds, but very much related because, you have to understand the politics of what goes on behind the scenes if you're going to really understand what's driving science, who owns scientists, etc. Just want to remind you that the extra sale is still on my webpage. That'll be, I think, ending tomorrow. But let me quick read off the items here. Okay, so let me read off these specials. It's called the Free Stuff Sale. And remember, there's already a 10% discount sale on the water filters and related items, tanks, etc. on the webpage. Buy a water tank and a 10-pack of replacement filters for the under-sink water filter, and you get the under-sink water filter for free. I throw in the water filter itself for free. And so that's a $222 value plus $100 off shipping on tanks of over 1,000 gallons. And just a comment on how you order the tanks. You don't click a button on the page because we have to calculate shipping. We have 30 shipping centers around the U.S., 48 lower states, and Canada. And so we have to calculate the shipping. Then we send you an invoice that pays through PayPal. You pay that, and then we put together the order and ship it. Tanks from 125 gallons to 20,000 gallons. Okay, then on the sales page for water filters, buy any 10-pack water filter elements, we give you 11. And that's a really good deal because they're already on sale. Buy any full-size water filter, and we'll send you an extra filter element. And remember that I include 4 filter elements in my water filters, and everybody else gives you 2, or some of them only 1. And they're the old-style filters where you have to add on for fluoride, arsenic. All of mine are all-in-one filters that includes arsenic, fluoride, and everything else. The last deal on the sales page, buy a ChemRad oil pre-filter and accessory set, and we'll throw in a Recalendar Sunstar clock for free. So those are great deals. Go to the webpage. That lasts until tomorrow. I have a feeling we'll probably extend it until Sunday. And the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is Jim McCanny. And my paid cast for this week is Mars, Water, and NASA Lies. A lot of new pictures. Great. That's our first one for December. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.